want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talk today on how to simplify your life. All of this week, I want to be giving you some hints on how to simplify your life. Now, these are ancient principles. There's nothing new, nothing innovative, and certainly nothing that I dreamed up out of my head. I've gotten them out of the scriptures, and I think you'll see that I will back every one of them up with scripture. But the first one that I want to mention today is choose your attitude. Now, we all know perfectly well that we can choose an attitude. We can choose to be nasty, we can choose to be sweet. Let me read to you from Philippians 4, verses 5 to 11, which proves this principle. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned, says Paul, to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation. Have you learned the secret of being content? It's a necessary one. The same book, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, how am I going to have an attitude which is the same as Christ Jesus? I'm going to have to trust God to help me with that. I think about that sweet little girl who was blinded at birth. Her name was Fanny Crosby. She wrote, someone has said, somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 different hymns. But she had become blind when she was only 6 weeks old because of a doctor's mistake. And when she was 9 years old, she wrote this poem, "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Now, there's a girl who chose the right attitude. Old Samuel Rutherford, who suffered very, very deeply in Scotland, said, "For some, it is down crosses and up umbrellas. But I am persuaded that we must take heaven with the wind and the rain in our faces." Rutherford chose an attitude, a willingness to take heaven with the wind and the rain in his face. Ephesians 4:23 says we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Viktor Frankl, Viennese psychiatrist who was in concentration camp during World War II, gives us a little vignette of one of his days in that concentration camp. He says, it had been a bad day. On parade, an announcement had been made about the many actions that would, from then on, be regarded as sabotage and therefore punishable by immediate death by hanging. Among these were crimes such as cutting small strips from our old blankets in order to improvise ankle supports, and very minor thefts. A few days previously, a semi-starved prisoner had broken into the potato store and stolen a few pounds of potatoes. The theft had been discovered, and some prisoners had recognized the, quote, burglar, unquote. When the camp authorities heard about it, they ordered that the guilty man be given up to them, or the whole camp would starve for a day. Naturally, the 2,500 men preferred to fast. 2,500 people fasted for the sake of that one. They chose a godly attitude. Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. My meat is to do the Father's will. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, the creator of the stars, the one who put the hinge on a spider's eye, the one who creates the great sequoia trees in California. He is the one who says, I am among you as one who serves. My meat is to do the Father's will. In other words, I don't have any agenda of my own. My attitude is whatever God tells me. Love your enemies, the Bible says. Do good to those who hate you. Be content with such things as you have. Have you done those three things today? Loved your enemies? Done good to people who hate you? Have you been contented? 1 Peter 4:1 says, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that you really can choose your attitude? Nobody else has to choose it for you, and it becomes very obvious to people when your attitude is a nasty one. But you can choose a nasty one or a kind one. And those moods, I love Oswald Chambers, you know. He was tough. I mean, that man was tough. And he tells it like it is. And about moods, and we hear a lot of people making a lot of excuses for themselves because they're in a bad mood. You know what he says about that? Moods cannot be prayed out. They must be kicked out. Did you get that? Moods must be kicked out. Not prayed out. And I think of my dear friend Nay Bailey, who found herself in Poland or Czechoslovakia, one of those places over there, in a station waiting for the train. And as the train pulled in, two very nicely dressed young men came rushing up and asked if she needed some help with her huge suitcase. And she was very grateful. They heaved the suitcase onto the train, and then they jumped off, and she got on the train, of course. And when she sat down in her seat, she realized that they had rifled her shoulder bag. Everything in that shoulder bag that she counted on was gone. Her passport, her papers, which enabled her to travel in that country, her American Express cards, her checkbook, her cash, everything was gone. And you know what Nay did? What would you do in a case like that? Nay sat down in the seat and simply looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do about this, but I am going to thank you. And you know, to make a long story short, for the first time in history, as far as anybody knows, everything was returned to her with the exception of 60 American dollars. She had gone to police stations and she'd gone to the American Express office and I don't know where all, but at any rate, having said, thank you, Lord, her attitude was right, and she received her things back again. That reminds me of Habakkuk. He says, when there are no cattle in the stall, no figs on the tree, no grapes on the vine, yet I will rejoice. That's what it means to choose your attitude. You can simplify your life also by the consolation of obedience, is what I call it. In Ezekiel 24, 15 to 18, and I major on this chapter, you've heard me speak of it many, many times, but it bears repeating again and again. In Ezekiel 24, verse 15, we read, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, with one blow, I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Yet do not lament or weep or shed any tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not cover the lower part of your face or eat the customary food of mourners." Now, these were all the usual things which were done in that custom when somebody died. Verse 18, Ezekiel says, "So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded." And there's something about the consolation of obedience. You can get all bent out of shape and very upset about all kinds of things. And what consolation comes when we simply do the next thing? The consolation of obedience. I know it because I've been through it. I can remember so vividly the wonderful consolation of the Holy Spirit when my husband was dying, because I was doing the simple, ordinary, humble things that need to be done when you take care of a sick person in a home. There were always dishes to wash, meals to make, sheets to be changed, bed baths to be given, pills to be given. In obedience, I found consolation. Isaiah 58:10 tells another story about the consolation of obedience. "If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday." I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow, the consolation of obedience.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.